When dry kiss may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners, listener discretion is advised. This episode, we're going over My One and Only, and if you haven't seen it and don't want us to spoil it for you, we have all the spoilers, so maybe pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Are you ready
for One Dry Kiss?
Yeah! Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies. It's a Hallmark romance movie recap podcast where we are recapping one singular You've Won Love in September love contest movie in doing today's episode, My One and Only, which is maybe the one and only movie that we ever want to watch.
Now, that just makes me mad because neither of us have won love yet in this month. So I'm just...
I would like to introduce my co-hostess with the mostess, Tamara Cosio.
And I would like to introduce my witty and warm, my one and only, Corinne Eddy.
Ooh, hi. My brain.
You've had a day, haven't you? I can tell. I know.
Now, my brain hamster just isn't, you know, running at full force today. So we'll see how this goes.
I'm dangling a hamster pal. Come on, boy. You can do it. Come on. Squeaky, 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 squeaky. Run towards the pallet. Run towards the pallet. So today we're doing My One and Only. And I take it you love the movie by your intro, Corinne. Is that correct?
You're funny. I'll say this. I actually enjoyed the last half of the movie.
Real? Oh, I think I remember which part, like when you started enjoying it, quote unquote, because we talked about it a little bit as we were watching it. Yeah.
I got to say, doing the notes for this one was a little bit torturous.
Painful. Oh, I'm like looking at them right now. I'm just like, oh, shaking my fist at them.
Mm-mm. So wish us luck on infusing life into this movie.
We infuse something.
Do you have a synopsis for us?
I sure do. I have an artisanally crafted, lovingly created synopsis. Stephanie, played by Pascal Hutton, is a successful recruiter and a realist about life and love. Until her friend Lisa nominates her to be on a reality show called The One, where two strangers spend 2 weeks in an exciting locale to find out if they are the one for each other. Lisa thinks Stephanie would be perfect for the show, and the fact that she's a producer on said show has nothing to do with it. Zero, zilch, zip, nada. She just genuinely wants her bestie to find the perfect match. Stephanie finally relents and gets whisked away to the beautiful state of Wyoming. In on a historic ranch in the small town of Aurora, she meets Alex, played by Sam Page, the prickly, hostile son of the ranch owner, and Oliver, her co-star, on this quest for love. As time in the show progresses, Stephanie spends a lot more time with Alex and begins to have mixed feelings about who her true match is. But the show's producers and a ranch regular named Kelly threaten to cattle prod this budding romance.
Ooh, nice.
Will Stephanie cultivate her feelings, or will she muck it up like she did the ranch's horse stalls? Take this ride with us as we figure out who is my one and only.
Aww, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Do you have some beautiful fun facts?
Why, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Hey? Hey? My first fun fact is that no matter how good or how bad a Hallmark movie is, there are fans or haters of the opposing view, like big time. It's no secret that I thought My One and Only was pretty much a stinker. So I went to see what people thought about it on the Hallmark app. There were nine written reviews, and eight of them read like this. This is such a great movie. Great message. Very well written. And Sam Page and Pascal Hutton have such a believable chemistry. Heart. I remembered this ranch from Under the Autumn Moon. Such beautiful scenery. I'd love a sequel of this one.
No, no, don't listen. Do not listen. Walk away. Walk away. I have to say, I was very surprised because I went on IMDb to get like the actor's names and it had like 6.6 stars out of 10. Oh. And I'm like, seriously?
There was one review from this person whose name is listed as Matthew M. And it just says, whoa, with a thumbs down.
Matthew M., I really hope you're listening to our show because you are our people.
Oh, for real. It really just goes to show there have been movies that I have thought were just like the worst stinkers, like unwatchable. And there have been super fans of those that I've seen on like in the Hallmark Facebook group. And actually, several of their favorite movies in the Hallmark Facebook group are ones that I detest.
Different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. I'm glad they enjoy it. And there's a lot of people working hard to put forth something, and they do it in a really short time frame. And so I give everyone props. I have a final fun fact.
Okay.
And good. It is about Sam Page, who plays Alex in the movie. He's American.
What?
I know. He's not Canadian. As opposed to several of the other actors in this movie. He attended Princeton University. He
Jesus.
Earned a bachelor's degree in ecology and evolutionary biology. And his senior thesis was about the mating habits of female mosquito fish. And it was actually published in a science journal.
And now he's in Hallmark movies.
I know.
Wow.
He blew my mind. I had no idea.
What a pivot.
Yeah. I just was a little impressed by him and his brainy ways. I'm here for it.
And with that, let's dive right in.
Yes.
We begin with an aerial shot of Los Angeles. We zoom over the downtown skyline before seeing the interior of a building. There are the one promotional posters on the wall, which show destination shots of Hawaii, Alaska, and Las Vegas, where the O in the word one is a gold wedding band. Doesn't that just get your juices flowing, Corinne? Seeing the promise of marriage on a poster.
Yeah, I think I'll hold off on that until a little later on down the line. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Two elevator doors open and we get our first gander at Stephanie. She takes a deep breath, steps off the elevator, and meets her friend Lisa, who is a producer on the show. As they walk side by side, Stephanie asks, "What am I doing here?" And Lisa assures her, "Being a contestant on The One is an honor, and you are smart, gorgeous, and hilarious." And Stephanie interrupts, "And completely wrong for this? I'm not made for reality TV." "Why?" Lisa pipes up. "Because you're a pessimist?" "I am not a pessimist," Stephanie objects. "I'm a realist. There is a difference." Her friend is not convinced, so she continues. "See, an optimist sees the light at the end of the tunnel. A pessimist sees the darkness of the tunnel, and a realist sees the train that's coming." They finally get to the One's casting room where they meet Donna. Introductions are made, and Stephanie gets shown to a chair in front of a camera, and the filmed interview starts. She states, "I just want to begin by saying, I think I'm the wrong person for this show. I am a recruiter, and it's my job to find the right person that fits the right job, and this is not me in this case. And I just can't get behind the premise of the show that someone could find happily ever after with a stranger that they've known for only a few weeks. It's a fantasy," she concludes. Donna, undeterred, says, "It's a fantasy made reality, like love." You audited that, Corinne? Oh, my God.
I'm sarcastically awing at it.
Okay, that sounded super genuine. That's what I was like, oh, no.
I need my own fantasy made reality. Where's my one? Where's my one?
Donna says, "You know, I think the same reason you think The One isn't for you are the same reasons you'd be perfect for it. Think about that." She mutters an okay. And with that, she is off to her normal life. We next see Stephanie in her office at work with her assistant Liz, who is more thrilled about The One's audition than her boss. "I don't even think I will get it," she informs Liz. I am totally not right for this show.
Okay,
Liz retorts. Then you can tell them that I'm perfect for the show. Stephanie chuckles as she gets read off her day's itinerary and is handed her mail. One of the letters she opens is an invitation to her ex-fiancé's wedding, and her face falls. What's wrong? Liz asks, and Stephanie regales her with the history of her and her ex. They had issues that were exacerbated by planning a wedding to the point where they just decided to call it off just in time for him to fall in love with his lifelong best friend, who he is now marrying. She puts the letter to the side and spies the meeting in an adjoining conference room. What's going on over there? She asks, and Liz answers reluctantly. They're interviewing for the VP position? What? Stephanie needs to vent. So she pulls Liz into the hallway and complains. I place big clients in big companies, and I am great at my job, and this VP position was supposed to be my way to get more involved and have more say. I don't know why they're not even considering me. Liz shrugs and gives a look that says, this is way above my pay grade, but actually says, did you ask them why? No. But I told them that I was interested and they didn't even interview me. That is a blatant rejection. Just then her phone rings and it's Donna who says, We love you and we want you for the show. Stephanie stumbles over a response. Thank you? I don't know what to say. And you know that I still feel the same way I did before. All the more reason why we want you, Donna assures. And we're going to be out filming in a beautiful ranch in Wyoming. Stephanie pauses for a beat and says, can I let you know in the morning? They agree, and she gets off the phone and goes about the rest of her day.
I'm guessing that this guy that she was involved with, that she was engaged to, that he and his lady best friend were having an emotional affair for years and years and years and years before they ended up ultimately getting together to get married. I'm like, they're getting married?
Absolutely not. I just have to say that if I were Stephanie and then I've got the part on the one, when I saw all those posters, it's like Hawaii, Las Vegas, Wyoming. I'd be a little disappointed. Yes, it's a beautiful ranch, but I'm just like, okay, great. The fun-filled state of Wyoming. Let's go. Woo!
I got to say that ranch looked lovely. I wanted to go there. I wanted to spend super time there. So good.
I had many moments when I was looking at the scenery, writing my notes, and I'm like, wait, is that fake or is that real? Because it was so picturesque.
Yeah.
Later that evening, Stephanie's cyber-stalking her ex. I mean, researching the show The One. She leans over and grabs her ex's wedding invitation when her friend, a.k.a. the show producer, Lisa, bursts in. Okay, this isn't a bribe, she explains with a paper bag of takeout hanging over her arm. But I did get extra egg rolls. And side note, Stephanie, I met the guy you're going to do the show with, and I can't divulge much, but he is perfect. But what if it doesn't work out? Stephanie asks, dubious. Well then, Lisa says matter-of-factly, you get a free trip out of it. Picture it. You, me, Wyoming, fishing, kayaking, cute boys. There's a glimmer in Lisa's eyes, but her friend isn't quite swayed. Okay, fortune cookies first, she offers. They both crack one open, and Lisa cocks her head to the side and says, huh. Coincidentally, mine says, Stephanie will be lucky in love. Her friend is alarmed and tries to grab it off of her, but Lisa deftly moves it away and says, okay. It actually says, fortune smiles down on you. Stephanie cracks her cookie and smirks. Mine says, when hungry, order Chinese food. Even my fortune's a realist. She busies herself with doling out the meal, and Lisa can sense something is off and asks, what's going on? And Stephanie huffs, I have had a shit day. I got passed over for the VP position, and there's this. She hands the wedding invite of her ex to her friend and rambles on. But it's fine. You know, I'm happy for him. He found love, and that's great. Would you be happier if you found Lisa asks, and Stephanie shrugs. Come on, Steph, she encourages. This is your chance. You don't have to believe in your happily ever after. You just have to be open to it. What do you have to lose? It's going to be an adventure, she says in a sing-song voice, and Stephanie breaks. I do need an adventure. Okay, I'll do it. And they both squeal in excitement.
Suddenly, we are seeing expansive tree-filled landscapes, rivers, mountains, and a car driving down a two-lane road. Why, I do declare, it's Wyoming! Stephanie and Lisa are on the road to Aurora, Wyoming. Stephanie looks out the window feeling nostalgic. This reminds me of my grandma and grandpa's place in Colorado. But the really important parts of this scene are, one, the exposition where we find out that the one TV show follows two strangers matched up to be the one. They have 2 weeks and go on different dates to fall madly in love and decide, are you the one? Question mark. Number two, the green screen on this one. Any thoughts, Tamara?
I did not even notice, and now I'm disappointed that I
Wow.
I was so enraptured by the storytelling. It's
completely. Now I know you're lying. You must have been, like, looking out your window or something. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm done counting now. So, they've arrived in the town of Aurora, and Lisa leaves to pick up shooting permits. So Stephanie grabs some non-iced iced coffees for them and meanders around the town a bit. She sees a kiosk with all kinds of signs and opportunities posted on it, and she moseys on over to take a gander at it. On the kiosk, there is a horse tour. On the kiosk, there is a flyer of a horseback ride tour that you can go on.
Got it.
Okay.
For the win.
Thank you. On the other side of the kiosk, a hot guy pokes his head around and approaches Stephanie. Interested in the tour, he asks. Stephanie smiles. She is looking super cute in a white sundress and says, is it fun? I don't know. I haven't done it yet, he says. Stephanie responds, well, is there anything else you'd recommend? I love getting tips from locals. Hot guy gets a tight smile on his face. Why do you think I'm a local? Stephanie's face falls a bit. Well, you're putting up flyers and you've got the whole outdoorsy look going on. Hot guy is wearing a pair of jeans and a tan-colored button-down shirt with sleeves rolled up. Hot guy, whose name is about to change, gets a smug look on his face. Oh, yeah, like I hike miles in the wilderness and wrestle bears? She chuckles. Well, I don't know about the bear wrestling. Hot asshat guy has a point. And he's going to make it. I am a local, but in the future, you know what they say about assumptions. Stephanie now has a smile on her face that is just shy of an eye roll. Are you assuming I do? She says and starts walking away. Hot asshat guy yells after her. Make sure to have all your hashtags ready. Stephanie turns around. Excuse me? Hot asshat guy is standing with his arms crossed and a superior look on his face. If we're all making assumptions here, then I assume you're here to take a bunch of selfies while you horseback ride, hike, and fish to prove you're a hashtag big city girl in the dirt. Stephanie chuckles ruefully. Oh, yeah, you got me pegged all right. And she walks off. As soon as she finds Lisa, she says, you would not believe the asshat I just met. Lisa sizes her up. But he's cute, right? Stephanie sighs. Yeah. But he was more of an asshole than a cutie. Lisa walks off to the car with a,
First of all.
Yes.
What the fuck was his problem?
Yes.
And second of all, Lisa, I wouldn't smack you if you were my friend and be like, but he was cute, right?
Well, yeah, as long as he looks good while he's abusing you, it's fine, right?
Come on, girl. If I talk to a guy and he, like, legitimately talked to me like that, like, his attractiveness would go down, like, 75%. I'd be like, you're no longer looking good to me. I am so sorry. I'm backing away slowly because you're scaring me a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I would say he was at first until he opened his mouth.
Oh, no. I completely caught that his name's about to change. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Stephanie and Lisa finally arrived at the Aurora Ranch, and Stephanie marvels at how beautiful it is. They're surrounded by trees, green pastures, a pond with ducks quacking around in it. Quack, 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 quack. All around them, the crew from The One is setting up. They're walking towards a building when suddenly an older woman dressed in jeans and a button-down shirt with the sleeves rolled up, her hair in a bun, and wearing a giant smile comes flying out of it. Are you Stephanie? Stephanie nods. The woman gives her a big hug. Oh, it's so good to finally meet you. You know, I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm so excited to be having it here on my ranch. She pulls out of the hug. I hope you don't mind the hug. Everyone here is like family to me. Stephanie chuckles and says, it's fine. And Lisa, seeing that Stephanie is in good hands, leaves her friend to do some work. The woman continues. I'm Ruth, and the Aurora Ranch has been in my family for generations. I run it along with my son, Alex. Now, I know you're going to be busy with the show, but I hope you get a chance to participate in some of our activities. I want you to feel like you're part of the ranch family, meet some guests, and enjoy all that Wyoming has to offer. Oh, here's one now. An older gent approaches Ruth and Stephanie. He is what I like to call a silver fox. Handsome, with a kind smile. This is Jeremy. He's one of our oldest guests. Jeremy responds, hey. Ruth gives him a friendly push. I didn't mean it that way. You've been coming here for a long time. There is obvious chemistry between Ruth and Jeremy, but it's also obvious that neither one has done anything about it. Ruth and Jeremy help Stephanie with her luggage and walk her to her cabin. On the way, they run into Kelly, a 30-something-year-old brunette who is working on her laptop. Ruth introduces them, and Kelly stands to greet her. This is Kelly. She's the only guest that has been coming here longer than Jeremy. Stephanie, ever the friendly gal, effuses, hi, I'm Stephanie. It's so nice to meet you. Kelly responds, nice to meet you, too. My parents first took me here when I was 5, and now, 25 years later, I still can't stay away. Ruth looks at Kelly with a soft smile. She's my honorary daughter. Kelly smiles back. I'd love that, but that would also make me Alex's sister, which might be kind of weird. And now I'm wondering, is she dating Alex? And how many romances do we have going on in my one and only? It seems like it might be more of a threesome. Hey!
Oh, I just put, what exactly does that mean? Why would it be weird? I didn't get to the threesome part, though. I appreciate the the imagination that you're injecting into your notes.
Well, I mean a threesome of, like, 3 different couples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no freaky stuff going on in the cabin.
No. Okay. I meant Stephanie and her, the one, Alex and Kelly and Ruth and Jeremy. Stephanie and Ruth finally make it to her cabin, a lovely log cabin with beautiful golden logs visible on the inside. Ruth's great-grandmother originally built it. There's a shelf with copies of Aurora's, the Aurora of the Aurora Ranch and the town, journals. How are you feeling about Aurora?
Is it the Aurora from the Aurora Ranch and Aurora the town?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm very excited. Very excited.
The woman, the myth, the legend. Yes.
Aurora.
Aurora. Aurora.
Aurora.
On the main floor, there's a sitting area, a kitchen, a fireplace in the center of the room, and the walls are filled with art of Wyoming landscapes. There's a set of stairs that I'm guessing leads to the bed, but it could also be, like in the movie My Secret Valentine, a place where they keep the bodies. But we'll never know as we never see the upstairs. We next see Stephanie in a chair in her cabin, getting her makeup done. Lisa comes in and Stephanie admits to being nervous. She's not sure if it's because she's going to be on TV, meeting a stranger, or if it's because a part of her hopes that he may be her person. Lisa approves. Finally, her friend is getting on board. Choo-choo, on board with the love train. Choo-choo-choo-choo.
I love the little dance you're doing, how your arms are swinging so enthusiastically side to side.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
I just have to say that the cabin was super cute, except for all of those fake flowers that were hanging around the window. Hallmark movies love some fake flowers. They love them.
They do. There's times when I understand the placement of them and I think, okay, this looks totally fake, but I understand you're trying to make it look like, oh, floral arrangements or something like that. And then there's the other ones where it's just like hanging all down the walls, fake flowers.
Yeah. I'm like, who thought that was a good idea? It's like a perfectly fine cabin. The decor is lovely until you get to this fake flowers that are like flanking the window that I probably would have used if I was 7 years old and there was a dollar store somewhere in my vicinity when I was that age.
You would have made up beautiful, beautiful flowers, beautiful flowers.
Oh my God. I would have made my room look like a fairy wonderland. Aww. There would have been so many fake flowers everywhere. And then I would have turned 8 and realized it was a bad idea and took them down. Stephanie walks down a long dirt pathway, perfectly coiffed in a flowy floral print dress, towards the shooting location when a big dark truck passes by and splashes her with mud. The driver gets out and apologizes until their eyes meet. It's the asshat from the kiosk.
Yay.
I called him an asshat too, Corinne.
Hey,
coincidence?
Twinsies.
We did not know that. We did not coordinate that or conspire to call him an asshat. We both just independently decided that he was an asshat.
It's true.
Great minds. What are you doing here? Stephanie asks. And he says, I run this place. No, you don't. She protests. This is run by Ruth. And she pauses with the realization that this is Alex, Ruth's son. Oh, you must be Stephanie, who everyone is looking for. Or you're way overdressed for mucking the stalls. Yes, I am Stephanie. And like you said, everyone is looking for me. She starts to walk away and he says, well, I hope to see some really witty hashtags about this. Good luck. She turns and confronts him. What is with that? She accuses. What luck? He answers. It's a phrase that's used as an expression used in hopes of a positive outcome. No, no, no. The smirk, she tells him. And Tamara says, screw the smirk. How about that shitty attitude and hostility, asshat? Alex, or the asshat, says, by smirk, you mean smile? I'm excited for you to meet the one. And she asks, so you don't believe in this? That somebody can't find love on a show where boy meets girl, boy woos girl, girl falls for him in between commercial breaks? Well, that sounds like it's what you believe, he says accusingly. And she turns to walk away because they're waiting for her on the set. And fuck this shit, seriously. That's right, he calls after her. Prince Charming's waiting. She makes it to the filming locale. I know, right? Just dude. Looks like.
Here's what I'm doing. The flying fingers. The flying fingers.
Two flying fingers. Double fisting it. I just have to say, in that cabin, if that ladder leads up to a loft that's holding dead bodies, I have a strong suspicion as to who put them up there. Angry hostile man that obviously dislikes women.
I will say, with the looks that he gives at certain points in time, I'm like, am I watching a romance or am I watching a serial killer movie? Am I on the wrong station? Is this actually Lifetime?
Oh, seriously. And it's like, I kept reverting back to those things that they tell you as kids. Like, oh, if he treats you mean and says nasty things, it means he likes you. And I'm just like, blow it out your ass. Come on. Like, what is going on here? She makes it to the filming locale and sees Lisa, who leads her to a gazebo flanked with fake flowers and greenery. I saw him, she shares. The guy from town. Who? Lisa asks. Cute mountain man? Yes, Stephanie confirms. Again, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. This drives me bananas because his personality has knocked him down a few notches from cute, which I said before, which I'm saying again. Stephanie goes on, is Ruth's son Alex. Lisa's intrigued but can't get any more tea because Donna comes in and directs Stephanie as to what's going to happen. They usher her underneath the gazebo and Donna says, act natural. It's just like a blind date. Yeah, Stephanie retorts, except there's a bunch of cameras and millions of viewers. She stands in front of the show's altars with a huge The One sign behind her. Can I just say one thing?
Yes. One? Just one thing?
No. The production value of this show cracks me up because they're like a cameraman and a sound person, like way off in the distance, like halfway across the field filming, quote unquote. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I've seen quite a few Hollywood productions and there are many, many more people and many, many more moving pieces than they put on here.
Oh, for real. Well, and that camera operator and the audio person were the people who were introduced as the makeup artists initially.
Yes, I saw that too. I was like, they do it all. They carry cameras, they do makeup, they do hair, they do sound.
I'm like, this is the lowest budge. As far as this being a reality show, there's some serious filming logistical issues.
As Stephanie stands there nervously, a handsome man in a suit walks in underneath the fake flower garland towards her. They meet under the gazebo and say, "Hi." He hands her some Wyoming wildflowers and they introduce themselves. His name is Oliver. The camera crew looks on, and so does Ruth and Alex from a distance. Ruth is holding her son's arm with a wistful look in her eyes. "What is it?" he asks her, and she smiles with a rueful look and says, "Oh, I want this for you." To which Alex throws his head up in exasperation and says, "Ma!" Stephanie looks over Oliver's shoulder at Alex, who gives her a knowing nod. And she scowls and moves herself out of his eyesight as Oliver asks, "So you have 2 weeks to decide if I'm the one. Are you ready for that?" To which she answers, "As ready as I'll ever be."
What are your first impressions of Oliver?
I thought he was pretty hot.
Yeah, me too. And I thought he was pretty nice as well.
Except like all their conversations, it's kind of like inconsequential.
Yeah.
Like they kind of have some nice conversations, but then it's like, "I brought you flowers. Thank you for the flowers. I'm Oliver. Hi. Are you excited to be on the show?" "Yes, I'm excited to be on the show. We have 2 weeks." "I know we have 2 weeks. I'm so nervous." "I'm nervous too."
Yep.
The next day, Donna finds Stephanie in a rustic log cabin dining room and says, "I hope you have breakfast because it's time for your second date." She hands her a muffin and gives her the rundown. Asterisk, asterisk, mistakes were made, Corinne, because then she says, "Your first date's today, your second date's tomorrow, and then a date every other day until the big mystery date." Accuracy, people. Accuracy. She said it's second date and first date within like a minute of each other. So I'm guessing it's the first date.
Yes, it's their first date.
She guides her over to Oliver, who is standing with another bouquet of flowers. Although this one is much smaller, maybe they match his aspirations for finding love with her.
Oh.
So that does not bode well. They greet each other and say good morning. They make ridiculous small talk when Stephanie inexplicably points out the camera to him that's off to the side and says, "Oh, they're right there." And Tamara says, "I'm pretty sure he notices the camera there, Stephanie, but thanks for pointing it out, obviously." "I'm kind of camera shy," she says. "Yeah, me too," he agrees. "I can't believe they picked me for this. I'm so awkward in front of the camera." "Me too," she says happily. "Are you ready to go on our first date?" Oliver asks, and Stephanie confirms that she is, just when an off-camera voice asks, "So y'all ready?" It's Alex.
Huh.
Or, as he shall be called other than Asshat, Ever-Present Alex.
Ever-Present Alex, that's great.
Because you see, he's like...
No, he's everywhere.
Oh, I will leave it at that. They will see. They will see. Stephanie stammers, what are you doing here?" And Oliver answers, "Oh, he's our guide for all of our activities." A flash of "fuck" crosses Stephanie's face, but they all leave and are next walking down a beautiful path that leaves between lush greenery and trees. They get to know each other. Oliver does advertising, branding, and runs a nonprofit on the side. Born and raised in L.A. Stephanie exclaims, "I'm from L.A. And Oliver slyly says, "Well, it's almost as if we're meant to be."
Aww.
They playfully banter back and forth, which seems to irritate Alex the guide because he calls out, "So do we want to continue hiking or what? It's only a couple more miles till the summit." Oliver looks disturbed by this bit of information until Stephanie tells him, "Oh, he's joking." "That's fine," Oliver says playfully. I can make it. I was just being a gentleman and hiking slower than her in case there are any bears." "Ah, that's okay," Alex assures him. "If there are any bears, I can always wrestle them." Stephanie snickers at this, and Alex halts the group. "Wait, there is a bird off in the distance." He gets his binoculars to get a better view. Everybody gets their binoculars. Stephanie takes a peek through hers and identifies, "That's a lark bunting." While Oliver, who obviously have never used binoculars before in his life, looks through the wrong end, spins them around, and then looks around like a lost child that doesn't know which direction to point them. Alex, surprised, asks, how did you know that it was lark bunting?" And she shrugs and says, "Guess I'm just a quick study." Did you notice that binoculars bit Corinne with Oliver?
I noticed it after I read that in your notes. And then I looked when I watched it again, and I was like, there he is with the binoculars backwards. And I'm like, oh.
They have to try to make him look less attractive in some sort of way. So they're just be like, he's big doofus.
This is too early to be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. And the binoculars thing goes to this point. I feel like they tried to make Alex manly and then to like neuter Oliver by having him be like, oh, I don't want to sweat, even though he's obviously like this hunky guy who works out.
I thought the same thing.
And it just kind of pissed me off.
I bet you he can hike all the way up to that summit and back 3 or 4 times because there were like veins on top of his veins on top of his bulgy biceps.
Although muscles does not mean that you're in shape. It just means that you have muscles.
True, fair, yeah. But I've never seen a muscly man that's like, I don't want to hike a couple of miles up to the hill. That sounds too hideous. They're going to be like, I'm going to show you how good I can get up that hill. Look at my glutes while I'm go. They get to a beautiful creek. Alex and the camera crew are off spectating in the distance while Oliver and Stephanie have a picnic lunch and talk about how they got on the show. He was nominated by his sister, and she shares that she was by her best friend. Oliver looks relieved and says, in here I thought I'd be partnered with a super fan. No, 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 she protests. I don't even think that's how love works. He agrees and says, I'm not even sure I believe in the idea of soulmates. I mean, how impossible is that? There's only one person out there for you, and you both have to be in the same area at the same time and single? It seems improbable. I think the word you're looking for is lucky, she says. She looks over to Alex, and he mouths, Prince Charming!
Ugh.
And she ignores him and refocuses on her date. Don't even look over there, Stephanie. Don't even look there. He's invisible. Alex is not there. Stop giving him attention.
Ugh. It's the next morning and Stephanie is up and reading one of Aurora's journals in an Adirondack chair. She's got a cup of coffee in one hand and a large bowl of cherries on the arm of the chair. Alex greets her as he passes by with a pitchfork. You're up early. She looks up from her book. I'm a morning person. Alex gets a smile on his face. Me too. You know, it's a good thing you're a morning person. There's a lot to get done around a ranch in the morning. It's not all scenic hikes and grouse watching. Stephanie gives him a really look and says, it was a lark. Okay, and mind you, I looked up what grouse are on, because I was like, are grouse even birds? I didn't know. And they're like fucking huge ass birds, smaller than a turkey, but they're big. Between the sides of a lark and a turkey lies a grouse. They're game birds. And a grouse is not something you're going to confuse with a tiny little lark.
I also have to say, if you hear panting in the background, that is Melody the pod dog, not me getting all hot and bothered by your words, Corinne.
I just thought that you were rattling your chains every once in a while.
Chinga, chinga, chinga. Tell me more about this Oliver guy.
He's pretty hot, I gotta say. Alex is surprised, although he shouldn't be after she correctly identified the dang bird by just looking at it on their hike the day before. How'd you know it was a lark? Stephanie retorts, I told you I'm a quick study. Well, says Alex, if you like learning, there's a lot I can teach you on the ranch. Stephanie, intrigued, says, oh, really? Like what? He responds, like mucking stalls.
No, thank you.
I know. Next thing we know, they're in the fucking barn. Not fucking in the barn, but they're in the fucking barn. Mucking stalls. And I'm guessing she's doing it because she doesn't want to be perceived as girly or weak or something. But really, mucking stalls with someone who is an asshat? No, thank you.
Run away, Stephanie. Run away.
Seriously.
Danger, Stephanie. It's danger.
Now, if Oliver, like somebody like Oliver was like, hey, let me show you the ways of mucking stalls, I'd be like, okay. But not like somebody who's fucking assy.
You're a better person than me. I'd be like, you go ahead and shovel that shit. I'm going to sit here on my chair with my cherries and read my book. You could tell me all about it afterwards, after you muck and after you shower. Come on back and regale me with how much fun it was.
Hey, I'm just like, hot guy who wants to spend some time with me? Yeah, I'm cheap. I'll fucking throw some horse shit around. Stephanie says, there are a lot of horses around here. What's up with that? Oh, no, horses. I was like, what are you talking about? You're in a fucking barn on a ranch. Okay. As they muck, Stephanie says, there are a lot of horseshoes around here. What's up with that? You can visibly see three on the wall directly behind her in the barn. So, yeah, they went on a horseshoe decorating spree at the Aurora Ranch. Alex says, of course, it's the Aurora family emblem. Stephanie ruminates on this. So, do you believe in luck? Alex says, absolutely, don't you? Stephanie pauses mid-hay scoop. Nah, horseshoes, four-leaf clovers? Alex standing pontificates. It's not about the symbol, it's about believing in destiny, fate, a benevolent force, ensuring everything happens just as it should. The Jesus God. Stephanie is dubious. I think hard work is what will get you places, not luck. Are you okay over there?
No, I just love the way the Jesus God. Amen. Amen. Felt like I was in about the middle of a sermon. It was really,
amen,
yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Alex concurs. Oh, yeah, I do love hard work. And finally, he starts scooping the poop again. Stephanie chuckles. Hey, we finally agree on something. They both laugh and continue scooping hay. After she's finished mucking the stalls, she heads out of the barn and runs into Oliver, who had been chatting with Kelly. Kelly continues walking towards Alex, and Oliver and Stephanie stop and chat. Oliver, handsome per usual, looks at Stephanie and says, oh, you've got a... And he reaches over to Stephanie's hair where she has a large piece of hay sticking out. He walks around behind her, pulls it out, and now conveniently they've rotated so Stephanie can see Alex and Kelly chatting and hanging out with the horses. I was like, seriously? That is the most awkward way to make that happen, but okay. Stephanie says, oh yeah. I was just mucking the stalls, and I thought I got all the stray hay, but obviously some remained. Thanks for catching that. Oliver smiles. No problem. Always happy to help, m'lady. They chuckle, and Stephanie asks Oliver. Oh
my God. Your retelling of this is just gold.
He doesn't actually say m'lady, but he should have.
I know.
Stephanie asks Oliver how he slept. He replies, I had such a hard time sleeping. There were no sirens. I don't know if I'm cut out for country life. It may be too quiet for me. What about you? Stephanie is looking past him at Kelly and Alex, who are chatting and laughing with each other. His question sinks in, and she rejoins the conversation. Oh, yeah, good. I like it out here. Chirping birds, so soothing. She is not feeling this conversation. Oliver tries again. Sure, but nothing calms the nerves quite like sirens and gunshots. You know what I mean? She looks at him blankly. He continues. Anyways, yesterday I was thinking about how weird all of this is. Stephanie, distracted by the view of Kelly and Alex, absentmindedly says, Oliver says, but today, talking with you, it doesn't seem so weird. I'm starting to like reality TV. And Stephanie thinks, ah, shit, I'm starting to like Alex. She responds to Oliver by smiling and saying, yeah, and nodding her head.
I just have to say that I agree kind of sort of with Oliver and his opinion about sirens. Not the gunshots, but the sirens and like the helicopters and whatnot. Because I am starting to get used to the quietness of my new locale. But when I lived in LA, Hollywood proper, and I was trying to sell my mom's house, which was in a very small, very quiet, mountainous town, we had to fix it up. We fell asleep there many a night while we were doing that. Mm-hmm. And a couple of nights I woke up and it was so dark because there were no street lights around. And I was like, I'm blind. I'm blind. I literally had a few seconds where I thought I was blind because I opened my eyes and I'm used to having street lights.
Yeah. And different kinds of ambient lights.
Yeah. And then when I woke up in this mountain town, not one, not two, but three times, I thought I had gone blind. That's not fun.
I'm glad that you're not blind.
Me too.
Even though the country tried to convince you that you were.
Very sweet of you to say, Corinne.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just benevolent. I'm like Mother Teresa, sex symbol extraordinaire. If she's good enough for Keanu, she's good enough for me.
Oh, my God. And if you don't know what she means by that, you need to watch our last Fifth Tuesday episode, Always Be My Maybe.
Listen,
Listen, you could watch it, too, if you're like me in my blind mountain days with your eyes open. You can't see anything. Same thing. Listen, watch, tomato, tomato.
Next, we see Stephanie, Oliver, and Alex all standing in a wide stream fishing. They've got their waders on, and there is a beautiful mountainous landscape behind them. Stephanie and Oliver are standing next to each other being filmed while Alex is standing off to the side out of view of the camera doing his fishing thing. Stephanie strikes up a conversation with Oliver. How you doing there, Oliver? That rod treating you all right? Oliver chuckles ruefully. I don't really fish, to be honest. My entire experience here has been a bunch of firsts for me. I'm more comfortable in a CrossFit gym or the kitchen. I love to cook, but don't really do it very often. Stephanie is politely curious. Oh, really? Why not? Oliver says, well, it's not as much fun to cook for one. And I wholeheartedly agree, Oliver. Would you like to go on a date with me, Oliver, to see if you're the one for me? But Oliver is not listening to me because he's on my TV screen and involved in a placid conversation with Stephanie. Back at the river, Stephanie firmly friend zones Oliver when Oliver says, I feel like I'm at a point where I'm ready to have someone to cook for or with, which I think is a super sweet thing to say. Stephanie looks at him and instead of saying, me too, I'd really like to find someone to share my life with and sit down with at the end of a day and share a nice meal. Instead, she says, why haven't you found someone? As I have read in the ODK Guide to Romance, if you're on a date, and instead of a nice getting to know you banter where you both say, me too, excitedly at different points in time, instead, you're talking about how terrible the dating scene is, that date is dead, not going anywhere. Stephanie just pulled the equivalent. Instead of vibing, she's asking him why. And I firmly believe it wasn't one of those looking for red flags as to why he might be single situation. Anywho, back to the compelling fly fishing scene. Oliver gamely responds, I think I've gotten tunnel vision in past relationships, thinking someone is good for me when they aren't, and hanging in there longer than I should have. Samesies, Oliver, samesies. How about you? Which is a lovely, vulnerable answer. But Stephanie just confirms what I previously said by answering, oh, I don't cook. Not a cute look, Stephanie. Suddenly, Oliver gets all tangled with his line. Alex notices because he's been keeping an eye on the date the entire time, as Tamara called him, ever-present Alex. He comes over and says, let me check out your pole. Ba-chicka-ba-ba. This is pretty tangled up. And instead of offering Oliver...
Wait, isn't she supposed to say, let me check out your pole?
Look, maybe the threesome is, you know...
Oh, the story already got more compelling.
Alex, Oliver, Stephanie, sandwich. Hello.
Everybody's checking everybody's poles out.
Uh-huh. So many poles. So little time.
So many sword fights.
And instead of Alex offering Oliver his pole or saying, hey, I'll get you another, like most guides would, he says, you can grab another fishing pole over there, and sends Oliver trudging through the water over to the bank away from him and Stephanie.
Uh-huh. I caught that too.
Uh-huh. Alex grabs this opportunity and sidles closer to Stephanie, casting his line into the water. Stephanie follows suit, but doesn't cast very far out. You're going pretty short on your cast, Alex observes. Stephanie says, sometimes you miss the fish that are right in front of you, trying to reach for the ones that are farther away. And I'm guessing this is some kind of metaphor for love, but I'm just rolling my eyes. And can we talk about Alex, Tamara? Do you think he's nagging her?
Yes. Yes, I do. 100%. He just seems like an asshat.
Right? I mean,
can I say it again?
And in the movie Always Be My Maybe, we talked about nagging N-E-G-G-I-N-G, not N-A-G-G-I-N-G. We talked about negging, and what conclusion did we come to about negging?
I believe the conclusion was don't neg. Negging's bad.
Yes, correct. That goes in the ODK dating manual as well. Negging, bad.
And I also want to know, what kind of guide is Alex? If he's just like, yeah, bro, you broke your fishing pole. It's right over there. Go get one.
Yeah.
Like, what are you there for, Alex? Why are you even there? You need to show them where the water is. They know where the water is. The water's right outside their cabin. Like, I don't understand what you're doing there, ever-present Alex. Go away.
He's their guide, Tamara. He's their guide.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll go with that. All right. I'm still mad. I'm still mad.
Oh, there's a lot to be mad about in the first half of this movie. Anywho, they banter, and Donna's brain hamster is chugging away on that wheel. Seeing the chemistry between Alex and Stephanie, Oliver returns with a new rod, and Stephanie catches a fish. How exciting! And thus we end the scene.
How exciting. Stephanie's outside by the water's edge on her phone. She checks back in with the office and finds out the VP position is still available. She's contemplating this information when Kelly comes up from behind and greets her. I am such a big fan of the show, she shares. I even applied to be on it and got through the first round. Well, Stephanie says, I can put in a good word for you. I know you're just joking, Kelly says, but I'm not. She grabs Stephanie by the scruff of the shirt and growls, put me on the show or else. I'm kidding. She actually leaves because her phone rings and she runs off to grab it. Stephanie makes her way to a barbecue lunch and is met by a table full of food and Ruth. She says, I hear we have you to thank for all this food, referring to her excellent fishing skills. Ooh. She plays modest while Alex, who is manning the grill close by, ever-present Alex, smiles at their conversation. Ruth tells Stephanie a little family history while she places food at various tables for the guests and crew. You know this place was founded by my great-grandmother, Aurora? She came out here with her husband, who passed away, sadly, during the trip. But when she got here, she bought this piece of land and started the successful business and founded the town of Aurora. And Aurora sounds like a motherfucking badass, I just gotta say.
Yes.
That sounds amazing, Stephanie says, within earshot of Jeremy, who breezes by and adds, amazing women running this family. Ruth playfully grabs his shoulder and continues, then she passed the ranch down to her daughter, who passed it down to her daughter, who then passed it down to me. I was hoping to eventually pass it down to Alex and his wife, but that just wasn't in the stars. She gets a sad look in her eyes and leaves while Stephanie goes back to the grill to make herself a plate. Ruth just took her on a little dining room tour to tell her the story, where if it were me, I'd be like, Ruth, can we save all this storytelling until after I get a plate? And then we can talk and I can sit down and we can chat. It'd be really nice. No? Okay. Alex is there and playfully says, thank you so much for getting all the fish, or else we would have gone hungry. Neg, 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 neg. Yeah, Stephanie says, those short casts really work. He heaps some food onto a plate for her and encouraged her to try his barbecue sauce, which is the best in the land. And I said, really? Barbecue sauce on fish?
It could totally work, because vinegar, like if you have a vinegary barbecue sauce, and fish and vinegar is a good combination.
Okay, well, we'll have to try that sometime. Mm. She tries a fingerful of his sauce and teases, well, Wyoming must not be known for their barbecue sauce. And he is astounded by her critique. How's it feel, Alex? How's it feel when somebody's critiquing you, huh? How's it feel? And she shares that she thinks her grandparents made the best barbecue. Donna, who's at a nearby bench, watches this interaction with a lot of interest, as Stephanie continues to tell him about her grandparents having a ranch at the base of the Rockies and how she used to go there every summer. It was my happy place, she says with a nostalgic look on her face. Well, that explains it, he admits. You got me over here thinking you were a townie. Oh, I didn't get you thinking anything, she points her finger at him. You did that all on your own. Just then, Oliver swoops in and asks, so how was your day? See, Oliver, with those gems, like, I'm surprised she didn't fall for you. They're having a cute interaction and bantering with Alex, and he walks in. How's your day? They chat off to the side while Donna and Lisa, who has joined her, look on. You see it too? Lisa tells Donna. I didn't want to say anything because it was so soon, but Donna adds, there's no chemistry, no spark. They're great as friends, but there's no romance, and without that connection, there's no show. A little later, Stephanie's doing a bit of sightseeing at the Aurora Art Walk with Lisa. It's a street fair, and there are white-covered booths and vendors selling vegetables and their homemade wares. Lisa wants the dirt. How is it going with Oliver? She asks. Is that all you can talk about? Stephanie accuses. Oh, no, he's wonderful. He's great, but I'm just not sure if I'm feeling it. Well, that's obvious, Lisa says. Stephanie's expression sours. And what's that supposed to mean? I'm just wondering, Lisa adds, if you're not sure of how you feel or if you're not letting yourself feel it. That's kind of a shitty thing to say because she might as well say, come fall in love with a stranger. It'll be great for ratings. It'll be fun. I'm your friend. Trust me. I don't care how you feel.
So what you're saying, Tamara, is you'd like me to get you onto a reality dating show.
I will get you. If you get me on a reality dating show, I will find a way to get back at you. I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know where, but you will spend the rest of your life just waiting for that other shoe to drop. Rest assured.
Your eyes got all big like a Disney princess. I was really impressed.
I'm emphasizing my point with my eyes. Across the fair, Alex runs into Oliver at a booth. He's looking at jewelry and tells Alex, I'm thinking of getting Stephanie a gift, but I don't know what she likes. Alex grabs a horseshoe necklace and says, get her this. Oliver looks it over and says, but she doesn't believe in luck. Exactly, Alex says. So maybe this will be the thing to sway her to believe. He looks dubious just as Ruth and her beau Jeremy pass by. They exchange pleasantries about setting up their painting stand, and Alex helps his mom with her bags, leaving Oliver to buy the necklace that Alex recommended. Oliver finds Stephanie a little while off, taking selfies with animal cutouts, and presents her with the gift he bought. She gets the necklace and says, oh, thank you. And he tells her that he knows that she doesn't believe in luck, but thought if she looked at it, she'd remember their time together. She's admiring it as Dawn and the camera crew close in. Darn it. They get closer. Darn it. Dun, 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 dun. Stephanie says, it's beautiful. And he asks if he could put it on her. She lets him, and as he does, they are face to face. They get a little closer. Dun it. The camera's right there. Dun it. Dun, 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 dun. He smiles, and they move in, and they are about to kiss, yes! But we'll have to get to that right after this break.
Curse your son, but inevitable betrayal, Tamara.
I'm so sorry. That's the break. We gotta pause for a couple seconds here. Word from our sponsors, what have you. And we're back. When we left, Oliver and Stephanie were getting super duper close. And the cameras were getting super duper close. But inexplicably, Stephanie stops. She pauses and tightens her lips. Oliver looks to the side, notices the camera, and says, oh, they're still there. They smile and move apart awkwardly while she says, I really do love the necklace, and walks off.
I understand you being critical of Oliver's conversational skills, but he's putting himself out there and he's trying to be flirty with her, and she's just shutting him down. And like the kiss, he was looking at her with the love eyes. He had his love tractor beam on. She was like, okay. And then she's like, nope. She swerved on
him. I have to say that little interaction that they had with the necklace was actually really sweet.
Yes.
And there are sweet moments with him.
Yeah.
But again, I think, like you said, they neuter him and try to like just dumb him down where he's like, how was your day? Like they just try to stifle his character, and you see that, and it's just like, you know.
Yeah. That, and also when he's like, it's hard just cooking for one person. I want to find that special someone. And she's like, I don't cook. You know, it's like, where do you go from there?
That was also a really good line. I mean, he probably could have been like, you don't like cooking, so what do you eat? Like, you know, I mean, it's just like the flow of the conversation. It's just like clunky. And yes, she wasn't participating. I agree with that. But also, like, he wasn't trying to push it a little bit. He just kind of was like, well, I'm Oliver. I'm going to walk away now.
I'm so frustrated with how far they went to try and make him look bad. It's just, it was ridiculous.
Yes, and then all the stuff they did with Alex that was supposed to be like, oh, he's so complex, and he's so conflicted, and there's so much going on underneath the surface. And I'm just like, let me find out what's going on under the surface by kicking in between his legs so I can find out.
I like your exploratory methods.
I'm not bitter at all.
After the kiss that wasn't, Stephanie walks away and runs into Alex. He says, "Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?" She looks at him and sighs. Apparently, trying to find love on reality TV isn't all it's cracked up to be. He looks at her with sympathy. "That bad, eh? I have just the thing that will fix your mood." And I have to say that from this point on, Alex totally changes to somebody who's actually legit likable and charming. Magic.
Yes. But what changed? Like, what was it? Like, all of a sudden somebody switched on the Alex light and he was all goodness and light, whereas before he was a surly asshat.
But, you know, his surly asshat never made sense in the beginning. It was just so out of nowhere.
Yeah. But it was still there. Yes. Like, he was still doing it. Like, I can't detach myself from that first half of the fucker that was Alex.
Like, I understand.
I'm not going to all of a sudden forget that and be like, "Oh, but he's nice now, so it's okay." I'd be like looking at him with side eyes going, "So when's the asshat coming back exactly?"
Me and him would be having a conversation is what would be happening there. I'd be like, "So this is like great and all, but you were really hostile to me earlier. What's going on with that?" I actually had a conversation like that on a date with a guy once.
I love the differences in our methods. You would be having that exploratory conversation and trying to get to the bottom of it, and I would just be kicking him in the ding ding.
Well, you see, you actually can get away with kicking him in the ding ding. I couldn't get away with it because it's been proven that I'm a terrible fighter. So I guess I'll just have to be a lover. The next thing we know, Alex and Stephanie are sitting at a table and Alex is spooning some artisanal choke cherry jam onto a plate with a biscuit. He says, "Sugar and pastries make everything better." And with that, Alex has been magically transformed from a nagging asshole to a sweet, charming guy. Now, now that they're happily munching on biscuits with jam, he says, "So what's going on?" Stephanie says with a smile, "Just the issues with being on the one and having so much pressure on my dating life around this one person. It's a bit much. I'm actually not really into reality TV." Alex smiles back. "You know, all reality TV isn't bad. Have you watched The Moon Landing? It was pretty incredible." Stephanie chuckles. "I'm sure the next season of The One will be on the moon. Viewership will be through the roof." After their snack, they take a leisurely stroll by the river. Alex tells her about how he loves the ranch and has plans for expanding it, but his mom wants to keep it the same and preserve Aurora's legacy. However, Founder's Day, which is arriving imminently, is the day that the ranch gets passed down from one generation to the next. He's just not sure when his mom will do it. Alex turns to Stephanie. "What about you? How do you like your job as a recruiter?" Stephanie says, "I love my job. It feels great to fit the right people into the right position. However, now I feel a bit stuck, like you. I thought I was going to get a VP position, but they're interviewing everyone but me." He says, "Maybe you should ask them why." And we cut to the next scene. Next, Alex and Stephanie are painting at his mom Ruth's booth. Stephanie asks, "Did your mom always run this booth?" Alex says, "Nope. It was actually my dad who started this booth. He loved art. All the Wyoming landscapes in your cabin were painted by him. And I am telling you, gentle listeners, that on one wall, there's like 6 to 7 framed landscape paintings all jammed into one space. It's not a sparse thing, these paintings.
You know, I have a question, because you've been to Wyoming. Is it that picturesque?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've been to Wyoming.
She says with the faraway look in her eyes.
But yes, I actually would say it is that picturesque. But they also leave out the whole giant bugs part.
Oh, fuck that shit then.
He thought that art taught life lessons. Stephanie is intrigued. "Oh, what kind of lessons?" Alex pauses a moment. dabs some paint on his canvas and turns to her, channeling his inner Bob Ross. Be humble. Embrace life's imperfections. Paint some happy little clouds. He used to say that art is like a relationship that you build up over errors and corrections until you've created something beautiful that will last.
It's happy clouds everywhere.
Happy clouds everywhere. Stephanie smiles warmly at Alex. I think you're a romantic. And Alex looks at her with a twinkle in his eyes. I think, deep down, you might be too.
Bah,
she says, brushing off the comment. Stephanie continues. Okay, let's have a look. And they compare canvases. His is a beautiful landscape with trees and happy little clouds. Hers is a loose interpretation of the blue and white striped tent in front of her. There are multiple paint drips down the front, and Alex looks at the blue tent and back at the canvas. Oh, yeah, I totally see it. It's great. With her paintbrush lofted sassily in the air, she says, "You can have it." And he replies, "Ooh, I can." And we leave that moment to move on to the next day, where she has date number 4 with Oliver. They haven't really seen each other since the failed kiss, and there's an exquisitely awkward tension between them. Stephanie approaches Oliver near a river. He's standing next to a couple of kayaks, wrestling with his life jacket, and once again, looking awkward. He finally pops it on, and Stephanie thanks him for the necklace. There's pauses and silence, and he stiffly smiles. You're welcome, he says. Just then, Alex comes along and slaps another life jacket into Oliver's chest. You ready to go? He says. Stephanie is obviously distracted by Alex, and I suspect Oliver, who has roundly been rejected by Stephanie, is almost failing like the third wheel. Yup, says Oliver. Safety first, and he helps Stephanie into her life vest. Now they're in their kayaks in the water. Oliver is looking at her, trying to engage in conversation, while Stephanie has sunglasses on and is looking not at Oliver. Oliver talks about how Wyoming has made him realize what a big city boy he is, but he can tell Stephanie is loving all the outdoorsy stuff they're doing. Stephanie looks at Alex paddling off into the distance, and Oliver playfully scoops some water up with his paddle and flicks it at her. She's startled, laughs, and they get into a super cute impromptu water fight. Alex hears the laughing and splashing and looks back, his heart dropping at the sight of Stephanie and Oliver together and connecting. Oh, the exquisite torture of it all.
Exquisite torture of it all?
Yes.
For a water fight. Okay. All right. Continue.
Oh, so there's a guy that you have a crush on.
Exquisite torture.
So there's a guy that you have a crush on. And
no, I'm with you. I get it. Just your word choice is just, it tickled me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Later, Alex and Kelly are brushing.
Exquisite torture could be losing a child. Losing your wife tragically to cancer.
That's not exquisite torture. That's just tragedy.
Okay. Let me kick it down a notch. What could be exquisite? Yep, no, I got it. I got nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I had it pegged. I'm just that good.
Okay. I will quiet down over here and let you finish.
Oh, my face is hurting from smiling so much. Later, Alex and Kelly are brushing horses at the barn when Stephanie walks in. When Kelly sees Stephanie, she heads out, telling Alex, I've got to go. I told your mom I'd help with setting up for Founders Day. Alex and Stephanie start to talk as he is getting a horse ready to ride, putting a pad and saddle on it. Stephanie comments on how pervasive Aurora is around the ranch and town. Alex says, people love her legend. And yeah, she did a lot of great things, but if you read her journals, you see that she's just like everybody else, trying to make her dreams come true, making mistakes, and afraid throughout the experience. Stephanie's face lights up. That sounds a lot like my grandma, the one who had the ranch in Colorado. If I was scared, she never said, don't be afraid. Instead, she'd say, the fear might not go away. You might just have to do it scared. A thoughtful look passes over Alex's face. I like that, he says softly. He invites her for a horseback ride, and they have a beautiful ride with light chit-chat talking about how Los Angeles is nothing in comparison to the beauty and richness of Wyoming.
him just, you're painting a beautiful picture. With your words. I love it. Oh, my God.
I can tell I'm touching you deeply as you laugh at me. It's fine. It's fine.
At one point, does she say, what would Aurora do in that section?
I left that out, but Kelly, when she leaves, she says, what would Aurora do? And then Stephanie is like, Aurora sure is a permanent fixture in this area. And then it gets tied in that way.
But I only ask because I wrote that down and I was like thinking of those what would Jesus do bracelets where they would put WWJD. I was like, the initials for what would Aurora do would spell W-W-W. Stephanie walks up on Oliver and Kelly outside the barn. Kelly smiles and explains that she wanted to go into town, but Oliver finishes, I told her I'm too tired from all that kayaking. I go on more about his biceps, which I'm going to leave out because I think we've talked about that at length. So I'm just going to try to find a place and cut that out. Mm-hmm. I have a section where I have him talking like a Southern belle. All right. No, cutting that out.
I thought it was just finally starting to get interesting.
Okay, I'll put it back in. But Oliver finishes, I told her I'm too tired from all the kayaking. And Corinne, I find that hard to believe with that man's guns bursting out of his shirt, as we have talked about extensively. They act like he's a wilting flower, as we also talked about extensively. And I could just imagine him, that delicate little man that he is. And well, I just couldn't make it a few miles to the summit during that hike. Why, that kayaking, it just took it right out of me.
Daggummit. That's beautiful.
Anywho, so since Oliver is too tired to go into town, Kelly asks Stephanie if she'd like to accompany her, and Stephanie agrees. They drive into town together, and before they get out of the car, Kelly asks her, so Oliver's pretty great, isn't he? And Stephanie says, yeah, I mean, he's pretty great, but the expectation of two people falling in love is a little far-fetched, right? Oh, I don't know, Kelly answers. I believe in love at first sight. Do you have a boyfriend? Stephanie asks. No, Kelly admits, but there is someone I'm interested in. Someone in the ranch? Stephanie asks. Yeah, Kelly confirms, but it's too complicated. They eventually get out of the car and happen to run into Lisa. Kelly excuses herself to run her errands, and when Stephanie's alone with her friend, she blurts, Kelly likes somebody on the ranch, and I'm sure it's Alex. That bitch, Lisa says. Let's jump her. I'm kidding.
Are we in middle school again?
No. And we actually don't know what happens because we next see Stephanie at her cabin porch, tootling away on her computer. Alex walks up and says, good morning, with a basket in his hand. Can I pull you away for a little berry picking? My mom needs them for her Founder's Day desserts.
Is berry picking a euphemism?
Don't you fucking ask. I said the same thing.
That's fine. I'll cut mine out.
No, keep it in because we think alike. Damn. I put berry picking in heavy quotation marks in the next sentence. Damn it. And they walk off into the thicket and pick berries.
air quote.
And it's very dirty work picking all those berries. As they are berry picking, Alex asks, so why did you decide to go on that show? And Stephanie looks at him and says, I told you. My ex-fiance was getting married and I needed a little adventure. Come on, he coaxes. What's the real reason? She gets up and they walk down a green path. Oh, I guess it's because I want love and I'm just hoping I'm lucky enough to find it. What? I thought you didn't believe in luck, he says. And she confesses, I'm not sure I know what I believe in anymore. Alex feels comfortable enough to share why it didn't work out with his ex, which ultimately boiled down to him being an asshat and not putting himself out there enough. They stand and face each other, and she says, what are you afraid of? And he counters with, what are you afraid of? She looks like she mulls it over for a second and says, aside from heartbreak, heights. I'm afraid of heights. And she again asks, and what are you afraid of? Alex looks at her with a glimmer in his eye, and I think he says love, but my CC wasn't working at the time, so it sounded like he said close. But when Stephanie says, I thought you weren't good at being vulnerable, I'm pretty sure it was love, yes. The love bit and not the close bit.
I agree. I think it's love as well.
What are you afraid of?
What are you afraid of?
No, what are you afraid of?
And then I had a... And I had like a whole 2 minutes of distraction where I thought, like, what if he did say, I'm afraid of clothes? I'm actually a nudist and these clothes are burning on my body right now. Do you mind if I just take them off and go frolicking in the berries naked?
Oh, God.
But he says love. And Stephanie says, I thought you weren't good at being vulnerable. He presses his lips together on himself, not on her, and says, I think we should go. They're probably going to be expecting us. She looks a little flustered, but she follows him down a path out of the berry grove. On the walk back to the ranch, Alex asks, how's the promotion going? It's not, she admits. I still haven't talked to them about it. He looks at her, puffs his chest out a little bit, and bends his elbows, though. His wrists delicately tuck into his armpits and say,
what is he doing with his? Oh no, oh no, you're taking it there, you're taking it there.
Stephanie says, I'm not a chicken, I'm just afraid of rejection. And then Alex starts scratching the ground and mimes like he's pecking the dirt. I'm joking. None of that happens. Except in my mind. He looks at her and says, or maybe you're just afraid of succeeding. What is that thing your grandmother used to say about being scared? He pompously walks ahead of her, leaving her alone, and she immediately gets on her phone, calls Liz, and says, I need you to set up a meeting with the board ASAP. Mm-mm-mm. Back at the ranch, Kelly and Oliver are making flower garlands. Do you find that curious, Corinne, that Kelly keeps popping up besides Oliver?
I found it curious from the get. I've seen the way she looks at him, and it's with the eagerness of somebody who likes somebody else.
Kelly's phone keeps buzzing, and she apologizes, explaining, I'm sorry, I'm selling my company right now, so things are a little hectic. Oliver's impressed and says, I was thinking about selling my agency, but it seems so difficult. He gets little stars in his eyes and says, you make it look so effortless, though. You make everything seem effortless. She looks at him back with little hearts in her eyes until they hear, hey, what you guys doing? It's Stephanie. She's oblivious to the moment that she interrupted and comes over to their table. They kind of, and Roof comes over to the table and says, hey, Stephanie, what task would you like to tackle? And Tamara said, man, Roof swoops right in. Anyone who's in Roof's vicinity is going to get tasked with something. Stephanie, being game and knowing her creative abilities, say, you know, whatever it takes the least creative talent. And they walk away from the budding love between Oliver and Kelly. And here comes Jeremy. He saunters over to the ladies and proudly shows Ruth his flower arrangement. Oh, it's perfect, Jeremy, she gushes. And he says, it should be. You are my inspiration. Yeah. Ruth playfully slaps him on the shoulder and he floats off happily.
That is an ugly bouquet that he did, by the way.
Shush, shush, it's perfection. It's perfection, Corinne. Uh-huh. What are you saying about Ruth when you're calling that bouquet ugly?
I'm not saying anything about Ruth. She is a lovely, lovely woman. I'm saying something about Jeremy's floral skills.
Prowess.
Prowess.
I don't mean to pry, Stephanie says, full-on prying, but are you and Jeremy a thing? We're just friends, Ruth says. He's a friendly guy. Mm-hmm, Stephanie says. I guess you don't say, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you call friendly, the rest of the world would call flirting. Mm-hmm. Ruth gets a little smile on her face, and maybe something a little more than flowers will get arranged that night.
Oh?
Later, Stephanie goes to talk to Lisa. They're together in her cabin, and she blurts, we don't make any sense. How can I be falling for Alex when he lives here? I'm leaving in 5 days, and there's Oliver and Kelly. I don't even know what's happening with Kelly. That little saucy minx keeps saddling up to Alex. Then why are you smiling? Lisa accuses playfully. And Stephanie smiles bigger and says, I don't know. It's like there's this light. And that light interrupts. Lisa, might be the train coming.
Choo-choo.
There's a knock on the door and Lisa says, you've got this, and scurries away. Stephanie opens the door and it's Oliver there to pick her up for yet another date. And I'm kind of sick of the dates at this time. Because they're all just like lackluster and what the fucks.
They're the worst.
They go and sit by. They're the worst. I'm like, oh, the movie's good. And then they go on a date. Yeah. This time, they're sitting by a fire pit and talking about how beautiful the stars are. Stephanie looks uncomfortable and shifts around while eyeing the cameras close by. Just then, a voice from the distance say, hey, are we interrupting? And it's Kelly and Alex with marshmallows. What the fuck? Like, no production crew would be like, just come on in and interrupt this date that our whole show is based on.
Okay, but I had an idea. It just occurred to me, because we were talking about how fucking boring the dates were and how very lackluster they were. And Donna, she's like, ooh, there's actual chemistry between Alex and Stephanie. So what if she was like, oh, you guys were going to go somewhere else? No. You guys go over by the fire pit there, because they need to add a little flavor and interest to the fucking show, because otherwise people are going to be falling asleep.
And here, take these marshmallows with you.
Yeah.
Bring them the marshmallows. Okay, see? If you have any qualms about how those stories being told in the Hallmark world, come talk to Corinne, because that makes total sense. And it's Kelly and Alex with marshmallows. They sit down opposite of the couple. I have good news, Kelly sings. I just sold my company. I am officially unemployed. Yeah, Alex scoffs, until you start your next company. He leans in closer to her and sings her praises. You know, this girl used to work so hard around the ranch every Sunday, and I swear, one year she started a lemonade stand that made more money than I do in a year now. As he's saying this, Oliver is gazing with awe at Kelly and thinking, I wonder how much money she got for her company. Cha-ching!
Yeah, right?
No, seriously, Kelly interrupts. I'm going to take some time off. Well, if you want help finding your next step, Stephanie offers, I do have some relationships with tech companies and I can place you there. No, Kelly declines. I'm going to get into something different.
Oh, she's got a joke coming up, gentle listeners. She's got a joke coming up.
No, Kelly declines. I'm going to get into something different. Like Alex. Oh my God, I'm 12. Okay, she doesn't say that. But I'm sure Stephanie was thinking it as she slowly shoves marshmallows in her mouth. I mean, Kelly continues, this sounds crazy, but Wyoming is calling to me. And I was thinking maybe ranch life? Alex lights up. You want to work here? We're totally looking for help. Then Kelly lights up even more. Oh my God, that would be a dream come true, she says excitedly. They hug, and Stephanie sits there brooding as she shoves another marshmallow in her mouth and mutters, this is so good.
And Oliver catches his marshmallow on fire and blows it out before popping it into his mouth. I'm not making that up.
Because he does it wrong. You're not supposed to catch the marshmallow on fire.
Yes, you are.
You're supposed to twist it and turn it. And so, no, you're not.
Yes.
You're supposed to turn it, slight. No, you're not. And you're supposed to get it nice and golden brown on all the sides. And it's a process. I know you just like
crispy,
shoving it in there because you need that instant gratification.
Flaming,
I'm not having this conversation with you again, Corinne. We're never going to see eye to eye. Friendships have been lost over this same argument over the years.
Oh,
you cook your marshmallows wrong, I'm sorry to say.
Anyways, the next day, Ruth is working on Founders Day setup and Alex approaches her. Hey, Ma, I wanted to show you something. He pulls out a spiral-bound business plan for the ranch and hands it to his mom. I sat down with the accountant and we can make it work. The retreat center, everything. Ruth's face falls. Honey, we've already talked about this and things are fine the way they are. I'm sorry, son, but it's just not going to happen. Alex is disappointed.
holds his tongue. Then we see Stephanie in her cabin on a video conference. She's meeting with three execs and telling them that she's the right person for the VP position. The woman exec says, "Okay, tell us your thoughts for the future." The talking trails off as we move on to the next scene. Lisa meets Stephanie in front of her cabin. "The mystery date is ready. Let's go." Stephanie eyes her. "You're being too enthusiastic. What's this mystery date?" Lisa responds with a shrug and, Stephanie gets a steely look in her eyes. "You're my friend, spill." And just when Lisa is about to crack, Donna pops up. "Come on, Stephanie, we need you for the mystery date." Oliver and Stephanie are chatting and walking down a dirt road together. Oliver says, "I'm going to miss this place. I now find the crickets as soothing as sirens." Stephanie says, "Me too. I wonder what our mystery date is going to be. I was hoping for a spa day, but I don't think we're going to be that lucky." They turn the corner, and there's a giant hot air balloon in the field in front of them. Stephanie blanches, and Oliver, noticing the shift in her disposition, asks her, "What's wrong?" Stephanie responds, "I am afraid of heights, and this is not okay." Oliver brushes off her concerns. "You'll be fine. Look, it's perfectly safe, and it doesn't even really go that high." Which I say bullshit to that. Stephanie looks at him. "I get shaky on a ladder." Oliver talks to her calmly. "There's nothing to be scared of. You just have to get over your fear." Stephanie looks at him. "I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. You don't just get over your fear. I have to go." And she rushes off in her wedge heels, ultimately running into Alex. He says to her, "Hot air balloon ride?" Stephanie nods her head. "You knew?" Alex responds, "Yeah. They asked where they could park their cars, but I told them that you were afraid of heights." Stephanie shakes her head. "I'm guessing that was part of it, adding to the drama of the show. I only made it as far as the basket, and then I just had to get out of there." Your feelings on taking a hot air balloon ride, Tam?
Big fuck no. I keep picturing that viral video flashes in my mind over and over again of that hot air balloon that hit those power cords and like bzzz, electrocuted and then fell to the ground. That's Whoa. All I see in my head.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I'll show it to you after we're done here, and you'll never want to
look at it. No, thank you. I don't need to see electrocution. Thank you. But I appreciate the thought. Alex is sympathetic. "That's rough. Look, I want to take some photos of the balloon so I can advertise it as a local activity. You want to take a walk?" He looks at her with kind eyes, and she relaxes a bit and smiles. "Yeah," says Stephanie, and they head back to the balloon. Donna sees them head out. Her brain hamster is spinning full force on that wheel. She's got ideas, and she knows just how she's going to make the season of The One work. Stephanie and Alex approach the balloon, and Alex asks the balloon wrangler if he can take some pics. The guy is super friendly and tells him to go for it. Alex snaps a few pics way too close to the balloon to get a good shot, but he didn't ask me, so you do you, Alex. While he's taking the pics, he says wistfully, "I sure would like to go up in a hot air balloon sometime." He turns to Stephanie. "Are you sure you're not interested?" Stephanie vulnerably replies, "It's not that I'm not interested. I'm very interested." He smiles at her. "Anything I can say to help?" Stephanie says, "I know logically that it's safe and there's nothing to be afraid of, but emotionally, it feels like I'm endangering my life." Alex looks at her. "I wasn't going to tell you not to be afraid. I was going to say that the fear might not go away. You may have to do it afraid." He uses the wisdom of her Colorado grandma, and that gives her pause. He walks closer to her, looking her in her eyes. "Or I could say nothing at all and just hold your hand." He reaches out his hand and she grabs it. They climb into the balloon and ascend into the sky, far, far away from power lines. Both of them look at the beautiful panorama below them. He turns to her. "Is this helping with your fear of heights?" She is awed by the view in front of her and says, "No, it helps to remind me that I'm not actually afraid of heights. I'm afraid of falling." Me too. Me too, Stephanie. Me too. They are standing shoulder to shoulder at the edge of the basket. Alex puts his hand over hers and she turns towards him. But if I can't get over the fear, I guess I'll just have to do it afraid, she says softly. They are fully in the KISS tractor beam and they give each other a slow, closed mouth, butt, lips extended kiss. Tam is shaking her head. The balloon lands and Alex hops out of the balloon, giving Stephanie a hand as she climbs out as well, doing it very gracefully, I must add, for being in a dress and wedge sandals. They walk away from the balloon holding hands, and the crew stands off to the side, recording their very private moment. What'd you think of that kiss?
It was a nice kiss, but in my head, I had two thoughts. First thought was that KISS tractor beam in my mind looked a lot like electricity lines, and secondly when they were going up in the balloon and he was like, can I hold your hand, did that make you feel better, and they get up in the balloon and they're not holding hands.
True.
My unromantic ass would be like, hold my hand, hold my hand, what are you doing, hold my hand, don't let go. So it was kind of like that moment where I'm like, the reality and the Hallmark version were like vastly different. I would like have cut that romantic scene with a knife with my anxiety and my fear of heights way worse than she did.
Well, I definitely was surprised when they weren't holding hands actively when they were up in the, I think that would have been nice. But when he did put her hand over his, it was a very cute romantic gesture.
The ranch is all prepped and ready for Founders Day, and Stephanie runs into Oliver. He says he can't believe that their last day is tomorrow, and he knows things haven't quite worked out as they had hoped, but he's glad he met her. Hurricane Ruth comes by and shoos Oliver away, telling him, you have work to do! When he leaves, Ruth gets a sad look in her eye. Are you okay? Stephanie asks, and Ruth sits down and says, it's been 31 years that I've been running this ranch, and it seems like just yesterday that my mom passed it down to me on Founders Day, and now I need to pass it down to Alex, and he has so many, she pauses, trying to find the right words, interesting ideas. But this ranch is all I know. It's not only my livelihood, it's who I am, and I'm scared, she admits. Stephanie takes her hand and says, I know Aurora was scared too. What would Aurora do?
Wawad.
Ruth pats her hand. Ruth pats her hand warmly and says, not helpful, dear.
What would Aurora do?
But seriously, you know, she doesn't say that. Seriously, Stephanie's phone rings and it's her company. She answers it and is thrilled because she got the job. The J-O-B.
Celebration times, come on. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do. Ruth congratulates her, and Stephanie shares that it was Alex, actually, who helped her go after it. Ruth nods knowingly and says, he's a good one.
When he's not being an asshat.
Really, for the second half of the movie, Ruth, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Stephanie agrees and goes to find him. She sees Alex and Kelly off in the distance looking very chummy while they walk two horses back into the barn. They're laughing and leaning into each other, and she leaves without saying anything, only to run into Lisa, who asks, are you ready for your final date? Stephanie looks off and Lisa asks, what's wrong? And then Stephanie goes on a running prattle about how she saw Alex and Kelly and how there was something going on between them, and it makes so much sense for them because she's going to be working here and he's here, and on and on, and Lisa stops her. There is nothing going on with them, she assures her friend. You always do this. Things start going good and you second guess yourself and psych yourself out because you're scared to give anything a chance. This is exactly what happened with you and Matt. Stephanie stops and looks at her friend like she got slapped in the face, but a light slap, like a loving slap that only snaps you out of what you're thinking and doesn't really hurt. But Matt and I weren't meant to be. He's with the person he's supposed to be with, right? But for a split second, Stephanie realizes that maybe she did psych herself out of that past relationship.
I don't think she did.
Oh, no, I know you don't think she did. But Stephanie, like, she pauses and is like, did I fuck that up? No, Stephanie, you didn't. And Lisa, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. No. I agree with what you said, like that she did think about that. But I was very much along the lines of Lisa, shut up about that, because I was like, oh, no.
I wonder how much of Stephanie's best interest Lisa has. If she's just like, go get that man. You fucked us up. You need to fix it. You need to find love. Like, it's good for the show. Like, the little wheels in her head are her turning, and I don't think they're being necessarily, like, looking out for Stephanie's best interest.
Well, I ultimately, she shows herself to be a good friend.
She does, but up until this point, much like any other characters in this movie, it's questionable in bits.
Yes.
That was a questionable bit. Across the ranch, Alex comes out of the barn and sees one of the film crew who asks him if he can fix a fan in their crew cabin. He goes, and before he gets inside, he hears the promo for the show through the doorway. This season, we'll double the romance when Stephanie has to pick between two different bachelors. Will it be Alex or Oliver? Find out if she will find the one. He looks at the director and is livid. He shakes his fist at her and says, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. But not exactly inevitable, because I didn't see that happening. Did you, Corinne?
Mile away.
Donna turns around and sees him as he leaves in a huff and yells, Alex, wait, I need you to sign an additional film release since you got a bigger role in the show. She doesn't really say that. He goes down the path a little ways until he runs into Stephanie. Was this your idea? He accuses, and she has no idea what he's talking about. Oh, there's the asshat anger I was expecting to come back, rearing its ugly head. The show, he informs her. Was it your idea to have me on the show as your contending love interest? I don't understand, she stammers. I'm genuinely confused. He says, I'm a bachelor, but I wrote, I'm a bachelero.
Okay. Bachelero.
I spell check. I like that. I'm a bachelero.
I know. That's hot.
Bachelero. I'm a bachelor on the show, he says bitterly. What? She balks. No, I didn't know anything about this. He glares at her and does not respond, which upsets her. And she accuses, you don't believe me, do you? I don't even know you, he corrects. You're right. You don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are. She looks hurt at his words, but continues stoically. We just met, and there was a flirtation, and that's fine because I'm leaving, and we are just two strangers that have been together a couple of weeks. Yeah, Alex interjects. You don't believe in that whole premise anyways. Her eyes narrow, and they walk away from each other. Asshat Alex back again. Asshat Alex back again.
Welcome to your walk-on role. Do your guest starring appearance.
Ugh.
Kelly and Alex are assembling fruit baskets for the Harvest Festival, and Kelly asks Alex, why aren't you saying something to Stephanie? You know you don't have forever. Alex says, yeah, I think I can hold off indefinitely, thank you. She said to me that I belong with someone else. What does that even mean? How can she not see how I feel about her? I gave her the sweetest and hottest slow-mo closed-mouth kiss possible, Kelly scoffs. Why would she know how you feel about her? You just snapped at her, essentially calling her a liar, and you haven't told her how you feel. I know putting yourself out there is scary. I'm in the same position, and I feel super vulnerable, too. But you know what will happen if you don't put yourself out there? Nothing will happen. So go tell that girl that you j'adore her. He looks at Kelly with a confused expression. The rain hamster is slowly churning on his wheel. Will Alex figure out what's going on and what he needs to do? Only time will tell. Stephanie is in her cabin getting ready for the final moment of the show and talking to Lisa. Lisa says, I'm so sorry. I had no idea what Donna was up to. I wouldn't blame you if you just walked away from the show, and I'm fine with that. I've got your back. Lisa's stepping up as a good friend right there. Stephanie shakes her head. No, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you or the show high and dry. I agreed to this and I'm going to finish out my obligation. Lisa says, I will leave with you. Stephanie chuckles. You know you love your job, and Oliver is such a good guy. I owe it to him to be there at the end. I already stood him up for the balloon ride and went on it with another guy. Lisa says, she'll see her out there, and Stephanie heads over and looks at one of Aurora's journals. It's evening time and Founders Day, and Oliver, dressed in a beautiful suit, approaches Donna. I'm sorry if this season was a disappointment. Donna says, what are you talking about? My job is to help people find love, and I did just that, even if they're not aware of it. She walks off, leaving a very puzzled Oliver behind. Could she be talking about him and Stephanie? Nah. He tried on so many occasions to ignite that spark, and she did nothing but pour water on it. The moment has finally arrived. Stephanie and Alex are standing underneath an arbor of twinkle lights and roses. Oliver, dressed in his beautifully fit suit, and Stephanie in a red off-the-shoulder dress. Oliver begins, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you, Stephanie. I wonder if it was fate that brought us together. Stephanie gets a look of fear in her eyes, and Oliver continues, getting to know you has caused me to re-examine my feelings on soulmates and love at first sight, and I think we both have found the one, just not with each other. Relief and a big smile washes over Stephanie. Completely, she says. This is an experience I will never forget. They look happily at each other, and Oliver says, I don't mean to be rude, but I think there's other places where we should be. Stephanie happily urges him on. Go! Do what you need to do! Follow your heart! Then Stephanie walks off and back to Founders Day. She sees Kelly and Oliver laughing and talking happily with each other. Ruth gets up on stage. Thank you all for coming to our Founders Day celebration. This is such a big day in our family. Alex, do you have anything you'd like to say? Alex pops forward and in front of the mic. This has been such a great Founders Day. How are you going to outdo yourself next year, Mom? Ruth says, I'm not. You are. I'm very excited to announce that Alex will be taking over. I can't wait to see how the ranch's future unfolds under Alex's leadership. Everybody cheers and Alex is completely gobsmacked. Alex steps up to the mic and gives a lovely speech while Ruth steps off stage and sidles over to Jeremy. He says, so does this mean you're going to visit me in Florida? And Ruth gets a shy smile on her face and nods. After Alex is done with the speech, he comes up to Stephanie. He looks over at Kelly and Oliver and says, I didn't see that coming. Stephanie chuckles. I think we're the only ones who missed it. Agreed. Stephanie says, I read Aurora's journals. And it's just like she said on the very first page, she was afraid. She didn't know if buying the ranch was a terrible idea, but she did it anyways. I'm afraid, but I'm standing here before you, open to the possibility of us. Alex looks at her with hearts in his eyes. We're both afraid, but if you're interested, I'd like to see how we can make this work. Stephanie says, I got the VP position. Alex gets a giant smile on his face. I knew you would. They slow dance in each other's arms. Stephanie says, I'm not sure how we're going to make this work, but I know where my happy place is, and it's with you, and I'm willing to try. Now, I'm assuming you're going to kiss me. Alex says, you know what I say about assumptions, except that I can't say it because you can't use the word ass in Hallmark movies. He chuckles and moves in for a singularly dry kiss that is so passionless they pan up to the twinkle lights above their heads. The end. How many dry kisses do you give this spectacular movie?
Oh my God. I give it two. Two dry kisses.
The life looks like it's left your eyes.
I mean, I want to say I have seen some stinkers in the Hallmark world, which is why I'm not giving this a one, because I know there's many, many more worse than this one out there.
Yes.
But I just did not care for Alex's character. I thought he was just so surly and unlikable at first that I couldn't forgive him in the second half of the movie, that I've said like many, many times. I also could not get behind how this LA production crew acted more like a dating website than an actual like reality show. So that just completely took me out of it when Donna's like, I'm here to help you find love. No, no, Donna, you're here to get good ratings and get paid and get sponsorship and advertising. You are in the wrong field, honey, if that's what your priority is. And we've talked about Oliver and how they treated his character, which I hate when they kind of like try to knock down the love interest that's not going to win. Mm-hmm. The locale was beautiful. Almost want to give it a half star for that. The diversity was not, so it's knocked back down to 2. And I'm staying with 2 dry kisses. What about you, Corinne?
Oh, man, you're right. Their diversity was so stinky that they made up a whole thing about the sound and the camera operator being makeup people so that they could introduce them and have them say 2 lines at the beginning of the movie. And those were like the 2.
Were they the only 2 people of color? I know he was African-American. Was she?
She was mixed race. And then there was Stephanie's assistant.
Oh, so good. They're all the help.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like
they're all the help, and they can easily be left out of the script and you really won't notice a difference. For me, that's a level of discernment. If we can easily write them out of the script, no problem, then what's the point of them being there? Other than to be token.
You need somebody to carry the cameras and do the makeup and answer the phones.
Yeah. When I watched it for the 3rd time and I was going through the first half of it, I was like, oh man, this is such a stinker. You know, how low am I going to rate this? And then I got to the second half and I was like, oh, the second half of this actually has some legit good moments in it and like some nice tension and some nice, I totally agree with you about the fucking director. And her being like, my job is to bring couples. No, your job is not to bring couples together. Your job is to like create a story and create drama. Give me a fucking break. The whole filming part of it was not plausible in the least.
And that's coming from Corinne, who can explain away better than the rest of us in Hallmark movies.
So it's going to be 2.5 dry kisses right there. I have no qualms with your 2 either. I'm not thinking like, oh, but really, I think you should go higher. No. 2 is absolutely fine for this movie. It's not 1, but that's only because I know that there's some that are unwatchable.
I also want to point out at the end, since we're here, that I did enjoy the storyline of Aurora, that lady that was like, just pulled herself up by her bootstraps, which, you know, in the day and age that she was supposedly around was very rare. So I enjoyed that storyline. I also enjoyed how the ranch was passed down to daughters instead of sons. I appreciated that. Think that's notable. Want to mention that, but everything else around that was...
Ruth had to just go and ruin it, though, by having a son and not a daughter. What was her deal?
She made a point to say, I want to pass it down to him and his wife, but he's not married, therefore he's not getting the ranch. And also, how are they going to make it work? He's in Wyoming, a ranch owner now. She is the vice president of a recruiting company. That is a long-distance nightmare that I don't even want to think about.
We're not supposed to think about it. It's their love that's going to build a bridge.
Not when you're in Wyoming and I'm in LA.
If you have things to say, if you thought that My One and Only was the most amazing movie that you've ever seen in your life, and you completely disagree with us, please let us know. Email us at... I was going to give my personal email address. Email us at, I'm so tired, at onedrykiss@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us via social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also One Dry Kiss under all of those platforms.
So if you can find us on one of those various platforms, please rate and review us. We would appreciate any 5-star reviews. We love to hear what you say. We love knowing that you enjoy the show, and we appreciate you. We love you.
Yes.
And we bid you adieu
with
one
dry
kiss.
Mwah.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm hitting stop.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
I was trying to do a morning glory. Damn it.
I got on. Eventually.
Ruined. Ruined.
'Walk back to the ranch, Alex asks how to promote. Why can't I say Alex? On the walk back to the ranch, Alex.
Because it doesn't sound like asshat, that's why.
My mouth wants to say asshat.
Yeah.
Alex. Nom, nom, nom.